All right, you know the story. A certain man had two sons. The youngest came, said, "Dad, I'd like my share of the goods." Dad gave it to him, which was a third, by the way the inheritance laws worked back in that day. The oldest got a double portion, so to speak. And so the youngest son said, "Like my part of the inheritance," he came and got a third of everything his dad had. Went to a far country, wasted it all in riotous living. Ended up feeding the pigs, the hogs, which for a Jew was a very disgrace. Got so hungry, he said, "Boy, this stuff I'm feeding the pigs looks really good." And then the Bible says he came to himself. He said, "The servants back home at my father's house have it better than I do. I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell Dad I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Just make me one of the servants. Let me live in the bunkhouse, let me work, let me eat with the servants. I'll have it a lot better off as a servant at my dad's house than I would in this far-off country." Well, he came back home. His father was waiting and looking for him. The Bible says he saw him a far way off and ran to him and greeted him. He kissed him, hugged him, said to his servants, "Hey, go get one of the best robes, put it on him. Go get a ring and put it on his finger. Go get a pair of shoes, put them on his feet. Go kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. This my son, which was dead, is alive. This my son, which was lost, is found. We're going to rejoice." Well, they killed the fatted calf. They called the musicians. They started celebrating the return of this younger son. As we read in the last part of Luke chapter 15, the older brother was in the field working, as he had done every day his younger brother had been gone. He heard the music. He called one of the servants and said, "What's going on?" And the servant said, "Well, your younger brother's come home. Your dad has welcomed him home, killed the fatted calf, called the neighbors. We're having a party to rejoice that he's come home." The older brother got angry. He wouldn't go in, so his father comes out and begs him to come in. And here's what the older brother said, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment." He was an obedient son. I believe what he said there. I don't believe Jesus would have said it the way he said it unless it was absolutely true. This older brother had obeyed dad all the time his younger brother was gone. "And yet thou hast never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And again, dad said, son, listen. And this was what I want to point out to you this morning. Thou art ever with me. And notice this next phrase. And all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. We should be merry. Your brother was gone. I thought he was dead. I didn't think he was ever coming back. But he came back. And I'm glad. Please come in and celebrate with us. Too many of us are like the older brother. I'm not talking about getting angry. I'm not talking about the unforgiveness, the unforgiving spirit that he had. What I'm going to talk about this morning is too many of us are like the younger brother, is that we don't realize what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't realize what we have. This father said to his older son, "Hey, everything I have is yours." This older brother was jealous. Dad took one robe. He took one ring. And he took one pair of shoes and one calf in order to celebrate this young man's homecoming. But what he didn't realize, or what he didn't remember, or what he didn't bring to the forefront of his mind, was everything else that dad had was his. It belonged to him. The rest of it. Everything in the house, everything in the barns, everything in the fields, every possession that dad had belonged to this older brother. And I want to remind you this morning that everything that our Heavenly Father has, if we're one of His children, belongs to us. Amen. I want to mention four things. I preached a sermon last Sunday night without any points, and I had some people that told me, "Where were you going? Where were you going? So I've come to realize I have to have points for people to follow along. So I got 4 points this morning. Number one, let me remind you what the Father has that's ours. A robe. A robe. The Father had the servants put one on his wayward son. He said to the older brother, hey, all the other robes that I have in the house are yours. I mean, all of them in the closet, all of them in storage. If he was like us, he had clothes in storage. But every robe I have is yours. And so the Father says to us this morning, every robe that I have belongs to you. I'm a sinner by birth. I was born with a sin nature because my dad and my mom were sinners. It's the way nature works. When two little birds have a baby, they have a baby bird. When two little crickets have a baby cricket, they have a baby cricket. When two cows have a baby cow, they have a baby cow. Two cows have a baby, they have a baby cow. And when two sinners have a baby, they have a baby sinner. So I am a sinner by nature. There's a part of me that always wants my own way. That was true when I was a baby. I mean, I don't remember much when I was a baby, but I'm sure I'm like most other babies. When babies want something, they let you know about it. They cry, or they make some noise. Even sometimes when you've just fed them and just changed them and you think they should be very happy, they still want their own way to disturb your peace. And so they cry, saying, oh, my kid doesn't do that. Well, I want to meet him because I've never met a kid that didn't yet. So when I was a baby, I wanted my own way. When I got a little bit older and I was a toddler, I wanted my own way. When I started school, I still wanted my own way. When I became a young adult, I still wanted my own way. When I became a medium-aged adult, there were times I wanted my own way. And now that I'm an old man, I still want my own way. Now, most of the time, I hold myself back. Because my way is not God's way. But sometimes, not only am I a sinner by nature, I am a sinner by action. Because there are times in my life that I don't care what other people want, and I don't care what God wants. I care what I want, and I try to get what I want. That makes me a sinner. That makes me a sinner. And so I'm a sinner by not only nature, but a sinner by action. And that sin, in God's sight, makes me dirty, makes me filthy. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that all the good stuff that I try to do in my life, all of my righteousnesses, in God's sight, are as filthy rags. Now, I can try to reform myself. But I have learned over the years that I can't reform myself. I can't tell you how many diets I've gone off of. I mean, I know I need to lose weight. I still have that desire. But I can't do it on my own. The other day, Patty was gone. I found a box of graham crackers buried in the cabinets. I didn't even know we had graham crackers. I took out that box. I started eating. I love to dip graham crackers in milk. You know, there's three little packs. I ate the first one. I said, man, was that good. I ate the second one. Not the second cracker, the second pack. I said, man, was that good. I ate the third one. Now, lest you think I really sinned, they were low-fat graham crackers. But they were good. And I buried the box in the bottom of the garbage can so she wouldn't know that I ate all the graham crackers. I can't stay on a diet by myself. I can't reform myself. And here's the good news. Here's what I want to point out to you about the fact that God has a robe that belongs to us. I can't reform myself, but what I can't do for myself, God does for me. He gives me His righteousness to cover up my sin. For he, and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. So when I come to Jesus Christ, when I accept what he did for me on Calvary as payment for my sins, the Bible says that he becomes righteousness for me. I don't have to reform myself. I don't have to turn over a new leaf. I am dressed in the righteousness of Christ. Jesus tells a story in Matthew chapter 22 about a certain king that made a marriage for his son. He invited all his friends, and they made excuses for not coming. And then he told his servants, go out into the highways and hedges and invite everybody to come. And as they come, give them a wedding robe. They have to be dressed properly for the wedding. And so the servants did that. And then they all gathered in the banquet hall, and the master came in, and he saw all the guests, and then his attention was drawn to one. There was one guest in the wedding hall that did not have the wedding garment on. He did not have the robe on. And the master said, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? I had robes for you. I had my servants ready to give you one as you came in. Why didn't you not take a robe? And then he said to his servants, cast him out. Bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. I want to tell you something this morning. You will not be able to stay at the marriage of the Lamb without the robe of righteousness provided by Jesus Christ. We will be bound hand and foot, cast into the outer darkness of hell, if we don't put on the robe of righteousness, the robe that the Father has, that he offers to every single person. Amen. All that I have is yours. I have a robe of righteousness for you that will cover your sin. Cover all the things that separate you from me. I don't have to stand in my own righteousness before God. All of my righteousness is as filthy rags. I can stand with the pure, clean righteousness of Christ just as if I've never sinned. Amen. Just as if I've never sinned. Everything I have is yours. He also has a ring for us. Just like this father, for his wayward son that had come home. He said to the servants, go get a robe, put it on him. Go get a ring and put on his finger. And the older brother came. He was jealous because dad had given him a ring. And dad said to the older brother, look, every other ring in my jewelry case, every other ring in my jewelry drawer, every other ring that I have is yours. Well, God tells us this morning, hey, I've got a ring for you. You see, rings represent authority. Pharaoh gave a ring to Joseph when he became second in command in Egypt. Mordecai got a ring when he took over from Haman in the story of in the book of Esther. When King Darius cast Daniel into the lion's den, he sealed the stone. They moved over the opening to the den with his ring, representing his authority, saying that nobody could open that except for the king. The Father says to us, hey, I've got a ring for you. I'm going to give you all of my authority. And so you and I, have the authority to represent God on this earth. We have the authority as his ambassador to share his plan of salvation. We have God's authority to tell people, to tell men and women and boys and girls how to get to heaven. God's given us a ring and the authority to do that. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In the Gospel of John, then said Jesus to them, to the disciples, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted, forgiven unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You and I have God's authority. We have been appointed by God and commissioned by him to go into the world. Again, those verses are not saying we can determine salvation for any person. We can't say, hey, this person is saved and this person is lost. That's not our job. Our job is to go and point to the one who can save them. Our job is to go and point to Jesus Christ. Our job is to go and to tell them about the cross and the tomb and the resurrection, and to tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. That's the authority that God has invested in every single one of us. He said, hey, everything I have is yours. There's a robe of righteousness for you. There's a ring that represents my authority. You can go and you can preach the gospel to the othermost part of the earth. But there's something else. The Father said, hey, bring a robe. He said, bring a ring. And then he said, hey, bring a pair of shoes. Bring a pair of shoes. Again, one pair of shoes. One pair of shoes. And when the older brother got mad, the dad said, hey, every other pair of shoes in the house is yours. They belong to you. Everything I have is yours. So the Father says to us, hey, I have a pair of shoes for you. Those shoes represent the guidance that God will provide us in our life. He says, you don't have to worry about which way to go, which path to take, which choice to make. You just ask me, and I will give you my wisdom, and I will guide you. I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, James 1:5. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Liberally. God says, you ask me for wisdom, and I won't just give you a little bit. I won't just give you a bucket full. I'll give you a bucket that overflows. That's what the word liberally means. It means that God will give us all that we can take.
Amen.
I look at some people, and I draw just one conclusion. They haven't asked God for wisdom. God's a keeper of his promise. And if we ask for wisdom, he will give it to us liberally. He says, I'll guide you. We get guidance from God. That's what the pair of shoes represents. We get guidance from God. We get guidance from his word. Psalm 119, 105, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. We get guidance from the Holy Spirit. John 16:13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. We get guidance from God. And again, all that the Father has is ours. He says, I got a robe of righteousness for you. I've got a ring of authority for you that authorizes you to go into the world and preach my gospel. And then I've got a pair of shoes. You don't have to worry about the decisions that you make. If you'll listen to me, I'll guide you. And then number four, we have a fatted calf. A fatted calf. Father had one killed. The Jewish custom was they always had a calf, a special one that they fattened up just in case they had a reason to celebrate. And so when this younger son came home, the father said to the servants, hey, go get the fatted calf, the one we've been getting ready, kill it, and because we're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate. Again, the older brother comes in, jealous because dad gave away the fatted calf, and dad said, wait a minute. Every calf in the barn is yours. Every cow in the barn is yours. Every goat in the barn is yours. They were Jews, so they didn't have any pigs. But he said, every animal in the barn is yours. They're all yours. Everything I have is yours. And God says to us, not only am I going to give you the robe of righteousness, not only am I going to give you the ring of authority, not only am I going to give you shoes that will provide guidance, I will give you the fatted calf. I'm going to let the fatted calf represent all the blessings that God has in store for his children. All the abundant life that Jesus talked about in the Gospel of John. Everything that God wants us to enjoy in this life. Now again, I know he's preparing heaven. And I know Jesus has been up in heaven and he's been working on heaven, in heaven for 2,000 years. It took him just a week to make everything we see here. Can you imagine how wonderful heaven's going to be? Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. We think we know a lot about heaven. We just know a little smidgen about heaven. The streets are made out of gold. The gates made out of pearl. There's no night there, no separation, no death. As Vaughn sang a minute ago, we're going to that place where we're never going to die. But man, we just scraped the surface. When we get to heaven, we're going to see things that we cannot imagine now. When we get to heaven, we're going to experience things we cannot imagine now. But God said, look, I've got some wonderful things prepared for you in heaven, but I've got some wonderful things for you to enjoy down here. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. And so the life that we have down here, God wants us to enjoy. And again, it's not just things. It's the fruits of the Spirit. It's love and joy and peace. He says, all of it's yours. I want you to enjoy it. I'm going to kill the fat. All the fatted calf in the barns are yours. So why, as Christians, are we so unhappy? Why, as Christians, are we so discouraged? Yes, God puts us through trials and he puts us through tribulations, but he does that for a reason. He wants us to depend, to be more dependent on him every day of our life, but he wants us to rejoice. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I mentioned to a person in the back, I said, hey, smile. It could be a lot worse. Now, I didn't go into any detail, but I thought, you could be in prison this morning. You could be in the hospital this morning. You could live in Afghanistan this morning. You could live in a war zone this morning. You're here. You're enjoying the blessings of, you may not realize it, but you're enjoying the blessings of God this morning. Let's rejoice and be glad in it, because all the fatted calf in God's barns, they're ours. They're ours. Now, I don't know what the older brother did. The story doesn't tell us. I don't know if he stayed outside and continued to pout, or if he came in, hugged his brother, said, welcome home. Tomorrow you're going to work. I hope that's what he did. Not the last part, but to come in and hug him and said, welcome home, little brother. I'm glad you're back. Because he realized that Dad was right. Everything is mine. Everything that Dad has is mine. Everything that God has is yours. Because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. This morning, if you've never put on the robe of righteousness, I encourage you to take that first of all. God offers it to every person. I can just imagine in heaven, just literally imagine in heaven, a closet that goes on for eternity. And in that closet hangs robes of righteousness. You see, I believe God has one for every person. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there'll be robes that hang in that closet for all eternity, because people have rejected Christ and not decided to put on the robe that God had made for them. Please don't be a person like that. God has a robe already for you, the righteousness of Christ that he wants to dress you in. Would you come and take it? You take it by receiving Jesus as your Savior. Coming, admitting you're a sinner, believing that Jesus died on Calvary for you, and then calling on Jesus and asking him to be your Savior. Would you take it this morning? He has one for you. He does, for every single person. He's got rings for all of us. He's got shoes for all of us. He's got fatted calf for all of us. I'm a child of the King, and everything that he has is mine. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that we have in Jesus Christ. And I pray most of all this morning for those that might be here that have never put on that robe of righteousness. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd help them see their sin, how that sin separates them from their Creator, and how there's nothing they can do to pay for it, overcome the gulf that exists between them and you. But that they don't have to. Jesus did it for them. He did it on Calvary. And he offers to every person a gift. The gift of life. The gift of that robe of righteousness where we can stand before you just as if we've never sinned. And So again, Father, I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never put on that robe, in just a second when we stand to sing, help them to come. Come and receive Jesus as their Savior. Speak to Christians that are here this morning. If we haven't put on the ring, if we haven't put on the shoes, if we haven't enjoyed the fatted calf, help us to start. It's all ours for the taking because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.